We have the 7th District Senator Shelley Short and 7th District Representative Joel Kretz with us. And good morning.
I wanted to talk about two things specifically. First, if people will recall, there was the United States Supreme Court decision on Janus. What that decision did was said that it was your First Amendment constitutionally protected right to decide whether or not you had to join a union. Just because you're a public employee doesn't mean that you give up that right to decide. Well, we had a bill, we had one last year that was trying to strip away parts of that decision. This one, House Bill 1575, just blew a hole in it. We had a lot of floor time on this bill, but essentially, public unions don't want their employees or the employees that work for the state to have the option of whether or not to join a union. We had numerous amendments that were designed to protect, to allow these votes to happen in secret ballot, to allow the individual public employee to opt out of a union in all of the ways that they currently can opt into a union. Specifically, we were trying to get rid of them being able to do that over the telephone. You know, if you think about it, you should have something in writing, either an email or a letter. It confounded me when we were on the floor of the Senate and just trying to get them to do away with the telephonic approvals. There is a lot of, people are harassed and they are pushed and cajoled into forcefully, joining a union. And again, the court case said specifically this was your First Amendment right to decide whether you wanted to or not. And it was really disturbing to me. We have all kinds of bills right and left, whether it's environmental, social justice, and others, that look to provide fairness and equity to an individual who might not have the same say as a corporation or other kinds of things. In this state, we do it all the time, protected classes and everything else. And yet, in this particular instance, the individual right was thrown out the window. It is egregious. There is no reason to do that. Our belief is if your union is doing a good job representing you and you can, work hard on behalf of your union members, then I think, quite frankly, members would join. And this isn't an anti-union thing. This is about the individual having the right to choose. So it was a really hard day on the Senate floor when we debated that bill. The second thing I wanted to let folks know about, there are many different tax proposals going back and forth between the House and Senate. They haven't come up for a vote on the floor, but one that I think has gained significant momentum is the graduated tax on the real estate excise tax. It's called REAP for short. And essentially, the way they're doing it is they would have a higher percentage of excise tax on properties that were quite expensive and then kind of equalize it, if you will, with a lower tax on those lower income properties. Here's the reason I want to bring it up. I have been hearing from local governments, especially our rural counties, that this is going to hurt them. There is an administrative fee that local governments collect off of each excise tax purchase. If you are a rural county that has a disproportionate high number of, say, lower valued properties, then this is going to hurt your rural counties. And so I have just been being made aware of that a few days ago, last week, and I just wanted to bring that up on the radio. But I am worried that this is a proposal that's gaining momentum, I think, on the tax front. And we're going to work to see if we can't make sure that there's no impact to our rural counties.
Yeah, when that first hit, I remember that story coming out. It seemed like a fairly, reasonable type of thing. But looking deeper, you see these things that are of concern, especially, like you said, rural counties. So it's a good thing that looking deeper into that.
Well, and the frustration is, if I can go back to the very basics, is we have billions of dollars in additional revenue that has been sent to the state of Washington by our hardworking taxpayers. There is no need for this tax. It might be the least egregious tax, but there is no need for that. We can do the business of the state of Washington without doing any kind of tax increases at all.
Yes, and that definitely needs to be, you need to keep sharing that. All right, well, Joel, how about you? How about this past week?
He just stepped out for a minute. This is kind of the crazy time in session. I will let you know that Joel's Wolf bill and his forest health bill and wildfire fighting bill, they are both alive in the Senate. We pulled them out of rules to the floor. I've been talking with the floor leader and the majority party to make sure that we can get those bills to the floor, along with Jacqueline's, which is on the veteran service officer. I've had good conversations. I think it'll happen, but as you know, the last few days on the floor before cutoff, there's a lot of emotion and a lot of things that happen that don't make sense. But, you know, I'm floor leader for our side, and so I've been working directly with him, and let's just say I'm pushing, which is an understatement.
Yeah. All right. Well, very good. Thank you for, sharing those things that Joel has been working on. Well, and now let's see. So Joel might be back a little bit later.
I'm thinking he will. This is kind of where we're all in and out. One other bill I wanted to let folks know about, we kind of thought it was dead, but I'm not sure it is right now. There was, you know, as Department of Ecology loves, they would love to shut down wood burning in the state of Washington. And, of course, we have been on the forefront of making sure that that doesn't happen. It's one of the cheapest forms and the best forms of heating your home, and we don't want to take that away. The bill that is interesting, so right now the federal government has one set of standards, which is low enough, but wood stove and pellet stove manufacturers have been able to, you know, they've been able to do the standard thus far. In meeting emission standards. Well, of course, the state of Washington thinks they want to one-up the federal government, as they've been doing a lot lately, and they want to create a lower threshold standard. I've been talking with wood stove and pellet stove manufacturers, and again, we're the way the bill is, if you were renovating your home or anything like that, you would actually have to replace your stove. I think that's unconscionable. You should have the right, as a property owner and as a homeowner, to keep the stove. It's just, once again, government stepping in to, you know, to force people to do something that they want them to do. And we're watching it very closely. We thought the bill was dead. What we're trying to do right now is just amend it so it meets the federal standard, which, quite frankly, they do right now, and not set a state standard. So we're working on that. Hopefully we'll be successful if the bill is brought up for a vote.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't heard about that one, so good to let folks know about that. All right, and some other things that have been happening. I noticed a bill to allow medical marijuana in school administered by parents has been passed the state Senate.
It did, and I actually voted in to support that. We heard, when I served in healthcare committee a couple of years ago, this bill started, this idea was making its way through the legislature. And, you know, there are forms of marijuana that are actually very low THC. That's the psychotropic part of the drug. It's called CBD. A lot of what they're finding with these particular types of medical marijuana, it helps with, seizures and arthritis, just different things that affect not only adults but our children. And the way it was right now, a parent would have to come and take their child out of school, administer the medication, and then take them back to school. And what we've been trying to do is figure out a way where the parent could come into the school, not to have a school nurse do it, because obviously it's still a Schedule I drug, but allow the parent to give the medicine to the student, to their child, while on the school grounds. And that's essentially what the bill would do.
Oh, okay. So it sounds pretty reasonable. And we did have a listener call in, and they're asking about, well, it's kind of a couple of things about our governor and the money that he's spending on the, you know, his presidential campaign. Now, that's the protection and things like that. That's through the state patrol. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's he's got a state patrol detail with him all the time, and so they're traveling around to Iowa, New Hampshire, and wherever else he's going for primaries. Yeah, that's all at state expense, and there's been quite a bit of flack about that. You know, we feel like you know, he deserves protection when he's on the job, but when he's off campaigning, you know, I believe his campaign ought to pay for that. I don't think there's any reason for the taxpayers of the state to pay for Jay Inslee to go run for president.
Well, and this person said, and, you know, perhaps just a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, is, you know, the way they're doing the budget and raising all the taxes, maybe they're just raising all this money to help pay for his traveling.
They're raising it a whole lot more than what that's going to cost, but there's just kind of this frivolous attitude here in Olympia towards spending, and that's really what's got us into this mess. You know, there's things we need to spend money on. There's legitimate expenses, legitimate things that we need to be funding, but the attitude over here is just let's fund everything, and then they wonder why we have, you know, an extra $4 billion in income and still have to raise taxes. It's that broad brush of let's try and fund everything. And, of course, that's going to be the battle over the next couple of weeks is we're pushing to have the budget prioritize the important things and, you know, let some of these other things that, you know, they may be nice, but I don't think the state should be in the business of particularly just doing nice things because people want to do them. We need to get back to just the basics, prioritize for the legitimate expenses, and we could balance the budget really easy.
Okay. Well, thank you, Joel. And obviously you're back, and do you know how long you'll be in? Are you in for the rest of the time, pretty much, or...?
Oh, in and out. I've got leadership too, but I'm kind of, you know, multitasking.
Sure. Yep, that's the name of the game. And Shelley covered, you know, some of the things that looking back at the past week about the Wolf legislation. And is there anything else that in this past week that you wanted to share with us?
Well, I think the brand livestock identification bill, we're finally got that worked out, I believe. It's a big deal for anyone in the livestock industry. You know, we need the brand program for, you know, an ownership and also for traceability for in case of like a health outbreak. I think the bill broadened what's in the brand program. A lot of particularly the dairy producers have electronic RFID tags in their ears. The bill that came over from the Senate, Senator Warnock's bill, allows that to be used in both the ownership and traceability. So that's kind of a plus for them. And then, of course, it's always a scramble on what the fees are going to be, the different segments of the industry. And they all think everyone else is getting a better deal, and they've been scrabbling over that for 3 or 4 years. Well, actually, the past 300 or 400 years, some of the divisions there. But I think we've got a bill that's going to be a big improvement over what we've been doing. I've got some concerns that it doesn't really pencil after 2 or 3 years. We're going to have to look at some changes in it, but it's a big improvement over what we had. And we passed Senator Warnock's bill here in the House, so it goes back to the Senate now. And if they concur, then off to the governor. So it's been a really time-consuming deal because you're dealing with different interests, and you want to try and make it fair for everybody, you know, hurt everybody a little bit, I guess. They got fees increased a bit. I think the next look at it is how do we get back in next year or the year after and start cutting costs and making the brand department a little more efficient and cut costs there so it will pencil out.
Okay. Yeah, and I know that's been a theme we've kind of touched on through the years is, you know, agency needs more money. Well, you know, let's also look at how they can be more efficient rather than just always asking for more money. So it's good to have that balance. And I noticed bill that's heading back to the House, and that's regarding school safety centers. It passed the Senate, and it's heading back to the House. Senator Steve O'Bann, backing that bill. And so how do we feel about the school safety center bill?
Well, I haven't seen that one yet. You know, there's been a lot of proposals over the last couple of years, and there's a lot of hesitation. People are nervous about how far do you go? Are we going too far? You know, I think we've got to do something about it. But I'll take a look at that bill when it gets to the floor.
Okay. Now, is Jacqueline still there?
She's out at this second, but who knows?
Okay. And Shelley's gone?
No, I'm still here for a couple of minutes.
Okay. Sure.
One thing I wanted to bring up was there, and we've been all receiving a lot of emails on the levy bills. The levy lift, there's two proposals out there. Some deal with levy equalization, which is super important to our district. But by and large, they would increase the cap of what you could locally raise to 20%. And most of our districts, with the exception of just maybe a couple, are like at 12%, maybe 14% top. So I want folks locally to know that this bill does not help our rural counties. In fact, I think it will get us back into another McCleary lawsuit. Because once again, instead of the state of Washington looking to, you know, deal with the things that our schools need in terms of basic education, they want to just pass it on to the local property taxpayers to continue to fund. Now, there are issues that we're still having, most notably special education. That's going to be a big deal dealt with this session. Funding that we hope will help. There's some challenges that we're having on the state employee benefits board, the SEB. I'm not sure what's going to happen yet on that, but we have put billions of dollars into education to meet not only the McCleary, but really what the state should be doing on basic education funding. So I don't think we should just, you know, a year after we pass landmark legislation to figure out a different way to do it, that we should just be going back to the same way of doing it. So we'll see where it goes.
You bet. All right. Thank you. And maybe one last thing before we go to our break and before you have to head out, and that is, you know, homelessness. So definitely a major concern, and different legislation be proposed. One about proposed eviction law reforms, instead of a three-day notice, going out to like a two-week notice, a 14-day notice, and, you know, landlords saying, hey, this, you know, is going to be a pretty bad deal. And that's going to be voted on or heading to the Senate. So how do you feel about that, Shelley?
Well, I think it goes too much the other direction. The Landlord-Tenant Act, the way it is right now, was to be both balanced in terms of the rights of the tenant and the rights of the landlord. And this bill, I believe, goes incredibly too far. Once again, and this is the hard part about being in the minority, we have had members in the House and Senate that have introduced thoughtfully balanced pieces of legislation that has had stakeholders at the table, landlords at the table, tenants at the table. But of course, the one that unfortunately continues to move right now is one that goes, I think, too far. There are a lot of protections in place. We passed a bill of Representative Orwell's that deals with foreclosure protections that all stakeholders were, you know, on board with, the counties, the assessors, you know, property, you know, homeowners and the like, to prevent people from being foreclosed on. There are a number of other bills that have been making their way, but instead of doing, you know, continuing to do the ones that are balanced, this one unfortunately is not, and I'm not supportive of it in its current form.
And I think it's important to note that is not eviction in 14 days. That's just basically getting the process going, and there's a million safeguards that are in the books after this. But you know, it's kind of unprecedented around the country. I think there's some states that have a 7-day notice period. 14 is mind-boggling, and what I'm worried about is we're going to see more of a problem with homelessness, because I think when folks that have a rental house look at some of the things that were passed this year, I think there's going to be a lot of people saying, you know what, this rental business, is it's tough anyway. They just made it a whole lot tougher. And I think we're going to have a lot of rentals that will be going on the market, and we won't have that ability to have rentals in the area. You know, we're really tight in Okanagan County on rentals, and I think with the new provisions, it could get a lot worse.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, I was wrong when I said about eviction, but yeah, notices. So, yeah, definitely not a good piece of legislation. Well, we'll go ahead and take our...
We spent billions on homelessness, you know, and I think it's time to really look at that situation. I mean, tens of millions, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse, particularly in the urban centers. So we've got to take a new look at that.